You know that religions and religious people have a reputation for being slightly behind the times. So I would like to talk about Halloween. But only for a moment. Every year, I get a couple of calls. Is it okay for my child to go out on Halloween? And really, the answer to that question has to do in part with whether you identify a holiday by its history or by its current meaning. Because in the history of Halloween, there are all sorts of unsavory things that Jews ought not to be celebrating, whether it be various saints whom we don't acknowledge as saints, or various nefarious black magic practices that we don't participate in except when watching Harry Potter movies. But the truth is that the fact that every year on Halloween there has to be articles in the newspaper explaining the history of Halloween suggests that the average six-year-old who goes out has Reese's peanut butter cups on his mind more than he does the doings of Beelzebub and black magic. And this has to do with the fact that maybe Halloween had a certain history, but its history is not actually determinative of its meaning today. Today, it's about costumes and candy. And I bring this up because I want to ask whether Thanksgiving is a Jewish holiday. See, I was behind the times, but I'm now moving ahead. Because this week is Thanksgiving. And of course, again, in origin, Thanksgiving is not a Jewish holiday. But notice, I'm asking a more difficult question than the question of Halloween. I'm not asking, can Jews celebrate Thanksgiving? We have to, because it's about family and food. And therefore, exactly. What can I tell you? Our relationship to both being equally problematic, we have to be in there celebrating with everybody else. The question is not whether we will celebrate it, but is it a Jewish holiday? Even though clearly, in origin, it's not. The Puritans were very well disposed towards the Hebrew Bible, but they weren't Jewish. You'll notice, for example, that not only did the Puritans know the Hebrew Bible very well, and many of them knew Hebrew very well, which is why the motto of Yale University is written in Hebrew, but also they understood the values of the Hebrew Bible. And Thanksgiving, I would say, in theme, is profoundly and importantly Jewish. Each morning, when you get out of bed, even before you get out of bed, when you first awake to the new day, each Jew is instructed to say, Mode ani lefanecha, I am grateful. I'm grateful before you. Because Thanksgiving is the way in which you ought to start the day, no matter what the day will bring, because after all, you have the day. That in and of itself is a cause for gratitude. In fact, in the Amidah, when the Chazan repeats the Amidah, as is sometimes practiced in traditional services, although we generally don't do a full repetition here at Sinai Temple, but when the Chazan does a full repetition, the Chazan can repeat every part of the Amidah for you on your behalf except for one. The one thing that each person must repeat for themselves is the Modim Anachnu Lach prayer, which is, I am grateful to you, God, because even though someone can bless on your behalf, can ask on your behalf, you got to thank for yourselves. everybody has to be able to express gratitude on their own, because it is fundamental to the human personality. Or at least it ought to be. In the Talmud Ben Zoma, before he says a blessing over a piece of bread, says the following: how difficult it was for Adam to eat a piece of bread. First he had to plow and sow and reap and bound and thresh and winnow and select the ears and ground and sifted and kneaded and baked, and then at last he could eat. For me, it's all done. That realization that 99.5%, probably more, of everything we enjoy in our lives was prepared for us by generations and generations of effort. That's a realization that we lose so easily. We walk into a sanctuary. Not only do we have lights and seats, not only do we have a building, but it's air conditioned. And what is the invariable response to this? Somebody tell the rabbi, it's too cold in here. I remember speaking to a man who's about to celebrate his 90th birthday, and it was a particularly hot day in Los Angeles. And I said to him, my God, when you were a kid, you probably had a fan and a block of ice. And he fixed me with a stare for a second, and then said, who had a fan? That's a lifetime ago. And yet, for every advance, we have new complaints. You know how long it took me to get across town? A lot less time than if it was a horse and buggy. But we invariably move past the advantages and to the complaint. The opposite of the spiritual motion of Ben Zoma when he said, think of everything that Adam had to do. And the fact that we have to set aside a certain day to give thanks suggests the extent to which every day we don't. Unless, of course, we wake up and say, Mode ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam. I give thanks to you, a living God, who has granted me another day. Because that in and of itself is such a powerful cause for thanks. You can feel inside yourself the difference when you complain and when you thank. And I want to say a couple words about complaints. Not against them, but to understand them. Why do we complain? Sometimes we complain in order to make a situation better. That's perfectly understandable. But we also complain because it evokes a certain reaction that feeds us. When you come in and you say, I had a horrible day, because despite the fact that, yes, you had three good meals and you live in comfort, turns out you had a flat tire. So you come home and you say, I had a horrible day. You get sympathy. And sympathy feels good. But it's purchased at a cost. Because think about what happens in the soul of the other person if you come home and you say, you know, I had a flat tire, but with that, it was a great day. Think how much nicer it is. How much brighter the world becomes. If you sit down to dinner and instead of saying, I really thought we were having meatloaf, you say, this looks good. I'm grateful for what I have. Because I know, as did Ben Zoma, what an enormous amount of collective human effort it required to put that on my table. We are always subject to 1,000 irritants every single day, and that won't change. It will never change. The world will not be frictionless, no matter how much technology and science advances the conveniences of our lives. But against those 1,000 irritants are millions and millions of advantages that we take for granted or overlook. And that's a shame. And it's even un-Jewish. In fact, in the Midrash, in Psikta de Rav Kahana, there is a beautiful phrase that I want to read to you in its original, because it expresses so profoundly the extent to which Thanksgiving is, in fact, a very Jewish holiday. La'atid lavo, our sages tell us, in the time to come, in other words, in messianic times, when everything, remember, is perfect, there are no irritants, there is no trouble. The temperature is always right. Kol ha-korbanot b'telim. Even if you have a temple, you won't need to sacrifice anymore. There will be no sacrifices. The korban todah ena b'tayla la'olam. Except, you're still going to have to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. V'kein kol ha-hodayot b'telim. And all the songs of praise won't be necessary anymore, because the world will be perfect. V'hodayot todah eno b'tayla la'olam. Hada hu dichtiv kol sason v'kol simcha. Kol chatan v'kol kala. But one song will never go away, which is the song of gratitude, the song of joy, of rejoicing, of bride and of groom. That won't leave. It doesn't matter how good life is, even how perfect life is, if it is that perfect, one thing you have to do, you have to say thank you. So I am conflicted. On the one hand, I want to say Thanksgiving is, in fact, a Jewish holiday. One of my professors at the University of Judaism, Tzioni Zevit, said there are three stages to every idea. The first is, that doesn't sound very Jewish. The second is, you know, probably could be reconciled with the Jewish tradition. And the third is, we thought of that first. So here I am reading you a Midrash thousands of years old that says, you'll always have to celebrate Thanksgiving. So part of me feels like, about Thanksgiving, yeah, we thought of it first. The pilgrims, they did okay, but we were there. And the other part of me thinks, no, actually, it isn't Jewish to set aside a specific day to give thanks. Because really, that's a practice that we ought to cultivate every day of our lives. So instead of coming down on one side or the other, let's say that Thanksgiving is the opportunity to begin a new practice. That is to recognize that if you're sitting at this, in this room at this time, then you are, in the long perspective of human history, inordinately, extravagantly, remarkably blessed. And that is a good thing. But you turn it into something that shrivels your soul if you take it for granted and you don't express it in gratitude and in thanks. I hope, as you sit at the table this Thursday, that you will take a moment to thank God that you are given another day in which to eat, to drink, to relate to those whom you love, to look up at the heavens and say, Mode ani lefanecha. I am grateful to you, El Chai V'Kayam, the living God, Shehechazarta bi Nishmati, who has returned my soul to me, so that I might live, that I might love, and that I might thank. Shabbat Shalom.